You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
St. Alphonsus Liguori relates that a priest, seeing a man leave the church immediately after communion, sent the altar servers with lighted candles to accompany that gentleman home. "What is the matter?" asked the man. "Oh," said the altar boys, "we are come to accompany our Lord, who is still present in your heart." Has this, in one way or another, one shape or another, happened in my parish and yours? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. As we approach the Christmas season and find that perhaps many of our brothers and sisters who are not as accustomed to coming to Mass begin to attend out of some sort of traditional respect, so to speak, or perhaps it is of those who do attend somewhat regularly and yet do not truly understand the divine mysteries unfolding before us during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. One thing is as certain as the autumn leaves fall. It's that most every Mass that I've been to or seen, there seems to be half a dozen or a dozen or so more of our brothers and sisters who, right after receiving Holy Communion, make a beeline to the exits, straight to the parking lot, so as to avoid the mad dash out of the parking lot there at the parish, so as to go on to whatever other things they have planned for the day. If we were to do as this priest here has done, as related by St. Alphonsus Liguori, and for everyone who leaves church Mass right after communion, before even the final blessing, we would most assuredly run out of altar servers quite quickly. And again, as I've said many times on the program, our outward comportment is a reflection of our inner belief. What we do on the outside reflects what we believe on the inside. Are we in a state during the life of the church where we truly do understand the divine mysteries unfolding before us? Which again, as we approach the Christmas season, We may want to reflect on these words written by a priest some time ago with respect to the three wise men, where this priest says, in speaking the words of the Magi, "Where is the newborn king?" the Magi asked of Herod. "Where is he? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to adore him. Tell us where he is. We desire so much to see him. We have made so long a journey in order to become acquainted with him, to adore him." This priest then goes on to say that the Magi could find him in one place only. And we, today, don't have to travel very far, because we can find him in every part of the world, wherever the Blessed Sacrament is kept. And how often is our Lord, the King of Kings, whom wise men have traveled 1,000 miles to come to see, how is it that today, where he is enthroned as a prisoner of love in our tabernacles, where many of us walk right by that very same tabernacle without even acknowledging his presence, without even a bow of the head, letting alone a bending of one's knee to the King of Kings in my parish and yours today?
Thank you.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As we approach the Christmas season, I think it would do well to reflect upon not just the birth of our Lord, but really reflect on what was the one truly great event in the history of mankind, even more so than the birth of our Lord. It was the incarnation. For the Word became flesh did not happen at Christmas, but at the incarnation with the yes of our Blessed Mother to Saint Gabriel, the Archangel, who was truly speaking the words of God the Father to our Blessed Mother. In this joyous season, the birth of a child brings a smile to everybody, to everyone's face, and a joy to everyone's heart. And yet we tend to forget that it was at the moment of conception that the Word became flesh. I mean, the Holy Spirit, the spouse of our Blessed Mother, and our Blessed Mother herself. Where our Blessed Mother gave her flesh and her blood to our Lord. Our Lord's flesh is Mary's flesh. Our Lord's blood is Mary's blood. So truly one could say, as was said by Simeon to our Blessed Mother, a sword shall pierce your heart. How true on many levels. Because in one way, one can say that it was our Blessed Mother's flesh that was suffering on the cross as well. And our Blessed Mother's blood being shed on the cross as well. For our Lord's flesh was her flesh. His blood was her blood. The enormous mystery of the incarnation, culminating there on a cross in Jerusalem. There was a story that same priest who I made mention of before, the Father Michael Mueller, who wrote an extraordinary book called The Blessed Eucharist, Our Greatest Treasure, who said that, quote, "What would you say to a rich man if a rich man should come and take up his abode in the neighborhood of a poor beggar? For no other purpose than to make it more easy for the poor man to receive from him relief in all his necessities. What would you say of such a Lord? Oh, you would exclaim, how good, how exceedingly good he is. He deserves to be honored, esteemed, praised, and loved by all men. How happy is the poor man who has such a Lord for his friend." But while, in fact, none of the rich of this world have ever gone so far in love to the poor, Jesus Christ, the King of heaven and earth, has gone so far in his love for us poor sinners that he takes up his abode in our churches for the convenience of each one of us. Oh, how happy we are! Would to God that each of us availed himself of this happiness by frequently visiting Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Which again makes me reflect on this, where I guess in a number of parishes, this will be the time of season where many of those parishes will be setting up, as we say in Italian, presepios, the nativity scenes. Beautifully laid out nativity scenes in sometimes outside the parish, but also many times within the very church building itself. And then you'll find many parents taking their children up to this beautifully laid out nativity scene and in the church, sometimes even near the sanctuary itself. And yet how many times would those same parents take those same children to where the true nativity scene in our parish is, to the Blessed Sacrament, to the tabernacle, and say to those same children, that child born in Bethlehem is present today in our tabernacles, in our churches. How sad that many of us in our culture today, in the church of the 20th and 21st century, have forgotten about our Lord, when He is truly present in each of our parishes, where you don't have to travel 1,000 miles like the Magi in order to adore the newborn king. You've basically got to travel a few blocks down the road and in a car, let alone camels, to visit that very same child. When the Blessed Virgin Mary visited St. Elizabeth, that aged saint was astonished at the condescension of the glorious Mother of God and said, "Whence is this to me that the Mother of my God should come to me?" And now in our tabernacles, and even in Holy Communion, it is the Lord Himself that comes to us. The eternal wisdom which proceeded from the mouth of the Most High, the Lord and Prince of the House of Israel who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the King of Nations, Emmanuel, our King and Lawgiver. To remain indifferent before, during, and after having received the Blessed Eucharist is a reflection of a complete lack of faith. And as I've said in previous sessions, the true tabernacle which our Lord was meant to reside in was not and is not that golden box in your parish. Our Lord came down here and is with us under the appearance of bread and wine. The true tabernacle that our Lord wishes to reside in is in the tabernacle of your heart when you receive the most blessed sacrament. At Holy Communion, His flesh becomes your flesh. His blood now mingles with your blood. And we not only get to come and adore the newborn king, but in Holy Communion, we are truly in communion with the newborn King. And yet today, we take it all for granted. Father Michael Mueller related that St. Elizabeth of Hungary was accustomed, even in her childhood, to often visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And if she found the church closed, she would kiss the door, the wall of the church itself, which housed and was a temple of the Blessed Sacrament. She would affectionately kiss the lock of the door and the walls of the church for love of Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist. Can the faith of Saint Elizabeth be found in my parish and yours today? Saint Alphonsus Liguori himself, being unable on account of his advanced age, was even unable later in life to walk to the church. So what did he do? He had himself carried in a chair in order to pay his accustomed visit to his beloved Savior in the Blessed Sacrament. Can the faith of St. Alphonsus Liguori be found in my parish and yours today? St. John Francis Regis, if he found the church closed, he would console himself by kneeling at the door, even in the cold and wet, that he might at least at a distance pay his homage to his sacramental Lord. Can the faith of St. John Francis Regis be found in my parish and yours today? St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi visited Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament 33 times a day. 33 in honor of the age of our Lord. The Word become flesh 33 years on earth. Can the faith of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi be found in my parish and yours today? Father Mueller goes on to say, oh, how do these examples of the saints confound us, who have so little love for Jesus Christ and are so negligent in visiting him? How they confound us, we who are of little faith. But someone may say, I have too much to do. I am busy. I cannot find time. And so Father Mueller responds, dear Christian, do not say I have too much to do, but say I have too much love and affection for the goods of this world and too little love for Jesus Christ. You find time to eat and to drink. You find time to rest and to sleep. You find time to talk and to laugh. Time to amuse yourself. Time for all your temporal affairs. Time even to sin. And how is it that you find time for all these things? It is because you like them. You like them even above and beyond, King of Kings himself. Even more than the child in the crib in that nativity scene. How true. And again, this is also a time for me to reflect on whether I have paid the proper respects, done my due diligence with respect to showing honor and respect and reverence to the newborn king, to the King of Kings in our tabernacle, in the tabernacle of my parish. Or have we allowed the things of the world to distract us from visiting our King and Savior? Where today in our culture, we give more attention to the things of this world than to the Creator of this world.
Baruch haba
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
In that extraordinary book, The Blessed Eucharist, Our Greatest Treasure, Father Michael Müller goes on to say, if you appear but seldom before Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, it is an evident sign that you love him but little. Love him a little more, and you will find time to visit him. Do not say, I am busy. The saints too were very busy, perhaps more so than you are, and yet they found time enough to visit their Lord. Do you imagine that you have more to think of than Saint Wenceslas, King of Poland, or Saint Louis, King of France? And yet because they tenderly love Jesus Christ, their King, they found time every day to pay a visit to him. I repeat then once more, love your Lord and God in the Blessed Sacrament a little more, and I am sure you will be found that much more often before the altar. Again, do not say, I have too much to do. It is for this very reason that you should feel obliged to visit your Savior. For the laboring and heavy laden are invited by Jesus Christ to come to him. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Instead of being kept away from me by your numerous toils and labors, he seems to say to you, you should rather feel drawn to me in order to speak to me about them. Come and tell me all your troubles. Recommend to me all your affairs, and I will bless them that they may succeed. Father Thomas Sanchez, who was in the habit of visiting the church 5 times a day and 8 times on Thursdays, used to exclaim whenever he was tempted, Jesus, in the Blessed Sacrament, help me. And no sooner had he pronounced these words than his temptation ceased. One day a young man said to a priest of our congregation, when the devil assails me with bad thoughts and impure representations, and I command him in the name of Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament to leave, he instantly withdraws from me. He goes on to say, listen to what St. Alphonsus, Bishop of St. Agatha in Italy, that great lover of the Blessed Sacrament, says about this. Nowhere have holy souls made more admirable resolutions than here at the feet of their hidden God. Out of gratitude to my Jesus, veiled in this great sacrament, I must declare that it was through this devotion, visiting him in his tabernacles, that I withdrew from the world where, to my misfortune, I had lived until the age of 26. Happy will you be if you can separate yourself from it earlier than I did and give yourself wholly to that Lord who has given himself wholly to you. I repeat it, you will be happy, not only in eternity, but even in this life. Believe me, all else is folly. Banquets, plays, parties, amusements, these are enjoyments full of bitterness and remorse. Trust one who has tried them and who weeps that he did so. Father Michael Mueller goes on to write that at Nazareth, Joseph's days were filled with work, which necessarily took him away at times from his infant God. And during these hours, Mary replaced him. Replaced him in what, you might say? In adoration. We tend to forget, if you think of it, that from the moment of the incarnation of our Lord in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, the Blessed Mother, for those 9 months, our Blessed Mother was doing Eucharistic adoration. To her son, the Word made flesh in her womb. An acknowledgement later given by Saint Elizabeth when her Blessed Mother went to go visit her. And also, our Blessed Mother would later be joined in that adoration of the Word made flesh by her spouse, Saint Joseph. I'm going to read those words again, keeping in mind what I just said. At Nazareth, Joseph's days were filled with work, which necessarily took him away at times from his infant God. During these hours, Mary replaced him. But when evening brought him home again, he would pass the entire night in adoration, never tiring, only too happy for the chance to contemplate the hidden riches of Jesus' divinity. Father Mueller goes on to write that, well, in profound adoration, he, Saint Joseph, united himself to the special grace of each one of the events in the life of Jesus. He adored our Lord in his hidden life and in his passion and death, of which he was permitted to see. He adored in advance the Eucharistic Christ in his tabernacles. Wow. What an enormous grace that vision would have been to Saint Joseph. And he goes on to say, there was nothing that our Lord could hide from Saint Joseph. And among the graces which Jesus gave to his foster father, and he flooded him with the graces attached to every one of his mysteries, is that special one to an adorer of the Blessed Sacrament. That is the one we must ask of Saint Joseph. Have confidence, strong confidence in him. Take him as the patron and the model of your life of adoration. Wow. All those days and nights of the Holy Family there, and our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, in adoration of the Word made flesh in their midst. Father Michael Mueller goes on to relate, here also tying the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where he says that all good works together, says the saintly Saint John Vianney, are not of equal value with the sacrifice of the Mass, because they are the works of men, and the Holy Mass is the work of God. He goes on to write, martyrdom is nothing in comparison. It is the sacrifice that man makes of his life to God. The Mass is the sacrifice that God makes of his body and of his blood for man. Yet how little is this most august sacrifice valued by most men. Father Mueller goes on to write, "You may say, it is more necessary for us to labor than to hear Mass, because without work I cannot earn a subsistence for myself and family. I say otherwise. It is even more necessary to hear Mass than to labor, because it is a most powerful means to keep yourself in the state of grace and most difficult for you to obtain the blessings of God without it. I do not say neglect your work, but break off for a half hour and give that short time to God, and you will find your business will succeed better as it will have God's blessing upon it." He goes on to say that if you neglect to hear Mass, either for temporal interest or for slothfulness, you occasion yourself a loss in comparison with which no worldly loss is to be compared. For you lose a hundredfold greater gain than you can make by your work during the whole day. This you may judge from the remarkable words which Christ used with so much emphasis in Matthew 16, verse 26. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Can you hesitate for a trifling worldly profit to refuse to listen to and apply to yourself the trusty admonition of Christ himself? My dear reader, he goes on to say, were our Lord to favor you but once with such a vision, how great not your devotion would be in hearing Mass. Ah, dear reader, our vision must be of our faith. Faith is the best of all visions because it is not subject to any illusion. Many of us probably have thought in one way or another, oh, if I could have been there in Jerusalem, listening, watching our Lord, if I could have been there at Bethlehem with the Magi, if I could have been with the apostles who followed our Lord, if I could have been there to comfort our Lord at the cross. And yet we tend to forget that not only are all those things possible, but we are given that opportunity most every single day when we stand in knee or kneel, preferably, before the Blessed Sacrament, when we are at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. When we are at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we are transported to those fateful days during the Passion of our Lord. We are taken there at the Garden of Gethsemane. We are there when our Lord is arrested and betrayed. We are there when our Lord is put on trial and spat upon and mocked. We are there when our Lord is presented before Herod and Pilate. We are there when our Lord is scourged and condemned and forced to carry the cross of our salvation. We are there when He is nailed to the cross, and his most precious blood is spilt for our redemption. We are there when our Blessed Mother is weeping at the cross, comforted there by St. John. We are there when our Lord is cruelly mocked. We are there when one thief sneers at our Lord, while the other asks of him to remember me when you enter into your kingdom. All this and more, we are there present, where at Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, time and space no longer constrain us, and we are taken to our Lord's suffering and death, his passion. That's what the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is you there during those fateful days that changed the history of mankind. And yet do we comport ourselves during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass as if we are there attending to such events? Truly there, present, witnessing these events? I dare say that in looking around at the comportment of our fellow brothers and sisters, that very few of them have even a clue that that is what is happening during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Father Mueller goes on to say that St. Gertrude the Great was given a vision whereby she was made to see that when the moment of consecration is arriving, everyone should be silent and trembling with reverential awe. He should forget everything earthly, remembering that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming down upon the altar as a victim to be offered to God the Father and as food to be given to the faithful. Wow. And here also, he relates that St. Bridget writes, "One day when a priest was celebrating Mass, I saw at the moment of consecration how all the powers of heaven were set in motion. I heard at the same time a heavenly music, most harmonious, most sweet. Numberless angels came down, the chant of whom no human understanding can conceive, nor the tongue of man describe. They surrounded and looked upon the priest, bowing towards him in reverential awe. The devils commenced to tremble and took to flight in the greatest confusion and terror." St. Augustine writes that Christ held himself in his hands when he gave his body to his disciples, saying, "This is my body." No one partakes of this flesh before he has adored it, says St. Augustine, who goes on to say that recognize in this bread what hung on the cross, and in this chalice what flowed from his side. Whatever was in many and varied ways announced beforehand in the sacrifices of the Old Testament pertains to this one sacrifice which is revealed in the New Testament. And if I may add, of which occurs in our parishes and in our altars every single day. You want to be like the Magi, to come and adore the newborn king? Then go visit our Lord, sitting in his throne, in a tabernacle, in my parish and yours today. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Hosted by Eliseo Zampanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.